Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. Your host Chris here with D-Pom, and we're here to review season 6, episode 5 of The Flash, Kiss Kiss Breach Breach. Yeah, I'm ready to jump right into this. I've been bad at this. I just haven't written any of the synopsis. Did you have one?
We took the Flash out of your Flash. What do you think of the Flash?
Yeah, they.
I feel like this happens once every season, every other season. We're just getting the episode where there's just no Flash.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I feel like this was felt more. I feel like those other times they do it, it's like around, like them shooting, and it probably was this time. Maybe they're shooting the crossovers or something like that.
Right.
You know, and so it's there, but it doesn't feel as. I feel like they've been setting us up for this, so it felt more. It felt more in tune with the story they were getting. Like, right. Normally when it happens, it's like, oh no, Barry fell down, and
like, yeah, it feels kind of abrupt. This has felt like we've been advancing Cisco's story the whole time. We've been advancing the side characters the whole time. It's time to push it forward some more.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me that we didn't have the Flash here because, like you said, it felt like it was part of the story that we've been getting. We've been pushing each individual group to kind of have their thing, you know? So you have, we literally just last week had the whole thing with Cisco and Cisco being in charge. So this gives Cisco, it builds on that story. Instead of it being a one and done, which I think has happened in the past where you do these things, we're trying to have these character building moments and it's one and done and you're like, yeah, but are they really going to learn a lesson in like an episode? And right. They kind of don't. Here, it does feel like this entire season has felt like it's been a natural progression with everybody there. Like, it started with them, Iris and Barry, not telling the team that, you know, Barry's going to die in crisis, to them telling them that. And then we've been seeing since then the team kind of processing that. We'll get into later on, but like when Joe's with Nash Wells, right? And he kind of sits there and goes, have to have faith, y'all. I have to have faith because, like, my son's going to die. Like, I got nothing. So the fact that everybody's kind of building on that stuff, okay, I think it works. I will say this. The show is called The Flash, so you can't keep doing that. You know?
Well, I think it's one of those things that you and I talked about where it's kind of you highlight the importance of the hero by taking him off the board.
And it worked really well. For me, at least, it worked really well for me this episode.
Yeah, no, particularly when you got the, like, and it's kind of heavy-handed, but kind of, it's. I'm glad they were kind of heavy-handed with it early. The Barry device telling him what Barry would do in the situation.
The Barry Allen replicated intelligence?
Which no one points out, like, you know, Barry fucks up a lot. Like,
yo. We brought this up last week, all right? We brought this up last week when Barry was like, I want you to make the decisions I make and things like that. I'm like, but Barry, you kind of make some bad decisions. And so I'm looking at this, and he preaches the Barry. I'll listen to the Barry device. I'm like, so is it Barry device from like season 4 and up, or is it like,
is it this year's Barry? When'd you map this Barry?
right. When does this Barry, like, how far back does this go? Because if we get in season 1 Barry, oh man, there's gonna be a, oh boy, we have some problems. We have some problems. Like,
yeah,
you know,
big ones.
Just go back in time. Was it Andrew for a lot of things? It worked for a season. Right. I'm just saying we gotta actually, you know, we gotta think about that. We gotta think about what Barry's mind are we mapping here to kind of figure this out. So but no, I think it works because we've been progressing this and it feels like a natural part of the story. And then focusing on Cisco, particularly if Cisco's going to lead the team, and putting this faith in him and having Cisco kind of believe in himself, because Cisco has always been that kind of person to kind of, one, side character to Barry, obviously, but also, you know, second guessing himself and not trusting in the skills that he has always been a thing. And I actually appreciate the fact that they didn't lean too heavily on the fact that he doesn't have his powers anymore. You know, like, when
so exactly what you're talking about. I like the fact that, like you said, his kind of those character arc kind of defining moments has been the second guessing everything. He hasn't second guessed giving up his powers.
Yo, it's been, yeah.
Until this episode.
Right.
And even then, he never really second guessed it. I like that that's the one decision that he hasn't had to be like wishy washy on.
Yeah. And even like when Breacher brought it up, Breacher didn't, it wasn't like, you gave up your powers, how can you do that? It was just like, huh. And just make sure you don't get that Breacher psychosis. Yeah, and
you don't get the Breacher psychosis. What now?
right. What? Wait, what? I didn't. That wasn't in the manual. That wasn't.
No one mentioned this as a as a, something I should look out for.
Right? What? I might start sleepwalking and having a little bit of a psychosis. Like, no, I didn't. That's a different thing. And even then, Cisco was like, well, no. I just got rid of the powers completely. I didn't suppress the powers. I just got rid of them completely. So it was like, okay. Well, you are still smart, so lean on that. And again, I think this is what comes, and we've talked about this several times this season. I really feel it. I think this is, obviously, this is on CW, and people have their opinions of the CW and the quality of the show, stuff like that. But I think there's another example of, and I feel like this across the board for these shows this season, is that this is just another idea of the CW understanding that their audience has grown, right? And so we don't have to handhold certain things anymore. And so we don't need to go to this whole idea of somebody, getting everybody hammering the home that, Cisco doesn't have his powers anymore and he's worthless and things like that. It's like, don't do that. We didn't have to do that. And I think that's what made it, at least his story this episode, made it fresh for me because they didn't do that. And I was waiting for it.
What would normally be text to be complete subtext.
Exactly. And I think that's something that we've kind of wanted for this show. And when you think about it, like this is sixth season. This is if you count, Arrow and people that have been watching all these shows started with Arrow for 8 seasons. If you started watching these shows when you were 12, you're 20 now. And so right, it's like you put on those years. Like the shows have to grow. They have to mature with the audience, and. Also, you have to believe in the audience is going to understand these certain things, right? And we don't need to hammer it out because we've done it before. We've done the whole give up your powers and we're going to spend in half a season, talking about how it's wrong to give up your powers. We don't need to do that shit right now. Let's keep it moving, get through it, and I appreciate it. Hell, I appreciate the fact that they didn't try to explain how Barry worked. Is fuzzy logic and AI intuition?
Yeah.
Okay. Like
it's basically the Flash writer.
Right. Why bother trying to you get in trouble when you try to get logical on the stuff? It's fuzzy logic. Cool.
The fuzziest.
I'm okay with that. Let's keep it moving. Keep the story going. And I appreciate it. I appreciate everything they did with it, I still can't believe we got Danny Trejo on The Flash, and he didn't die.
Yo, we had Danny Trejo on The Flash, despondent and, retired as Danny Trejo. Right. We got Wash Danny.
Yo, The Flash might be the only time that Danny Trejo's ever played a character that's been allowed to basically get older and retire and not die.
Hey, are you gonna act your age? I think it's going to be this time, finally.
Yeah.
I'm going to act as old as I am. Danny Trejo is 137 years old.
He started his career when he was 80, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I know. And he's had a 40-year career. It's ridiculous.
It still drives me crazy because it's like, I watch, we were completely off topic right now, but I just watched Pain and Glory, and that stars Antonio Banderas. And I'm like, yo, Antonio Banderas is getting up there in age, looking at, I remember from Desperado. And then I was like, fuck, Danny Trejo's in that fucking movie.
Danny Trejo's old in Desperado.
Yo, he's old as fucking Desperado.
He's been here since the whole ass career since Desperado.
Yo, Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo's played this man of indeterminate age or origin who's meaner than you since that point.
Yo, he's old as fuck. But here's the thing. Here's the great thing about Danny Trejo, right? Danny Trejo's old as fuck, but he also is ages old as fuck. He was born old and just has not aged since.
Oh, yeah, he's the anti Benjamin Button. He just gets old. He started old and just stays old. He gets older.
God damn. It's true though. It's true. Somebody's gonna find him. I gotta go look now. I gotta go find young pictures of Danny Trejo. See if they exist. It's like trying to find young pictures of what is it, Cicely Tyson and Morgan Freeman. You can't find
a young picture of Danny Trejo is an actual oil painting.
Right.
They didn't have cameras back then. Oh my god, yo!
It's fucking crazy to me. But no, I really enjoyed the way they worked the episode. I enjoy the way that they're working with Cisco. I mean, I know they said, this is the weird thing to me. I thought they said that Carlos was leaving the show. So I don't know what's going to go with that. But
they said he was, and then other people said that was a rumor. And so I like that I don't know.
Yeah, I like that I don't know either. I mean, I like what they're doing with him and Camilla. I've enjoyed how they're handling whether he's going or not going. I don't care. I like the fact that he's getting more focus per se. But it's not even like more focus. I feel like I think this everybody on the Flash this season is they're really allowing the side characters who've always been part of the Flash family to feel like they're fully formed. Like, we don't get that long with Frost and Ralph this episode, but even that we get a little bit of Ralph and Frost, you know, kind of working with each other. We get Joe and Nash Wells, and you know, the Black Fatherhood advice is coming back so strong this season. Like, it's always been there, but I feel like the last two seasons we haven't really needed it as much. But I feel like, you know, Jesse L. Martin's kind of bringing it this season. When you were talking to Nash and telling that story about what happened, man, when his wife left, and how I was just like, it's two episodes in a row, guys. It's two episodes in a row. You guys got to stop. Like, I get it. It's Black Fatherhood.
Nah, man.
But like,
No. Get your mileage on the end, dude. Y'all, just, get after last year in the doorframe gate, yeah, you can get some mileage out of them.
Whew, God, it just... man, they just... They're getting me, man. They're getting me. This is season one, Joe. Yo, this is season one, Joe. And it might be crossing episodes because we can talk about it. Like, we almost diggle trying to get in on the Black Fatherhood talk a little bit. So I'm just like, oh man, I've really enjoyed. I've just really enjoyed how they've really done a good job of spacing out the characters and giving them each room to grow. So like you said, Barry and Iris literally pulled that. That Rick and Morty episode where Rick and Morty go on vacation and then they go off and then they come back at the end. They literally do that and you're just like, huh. No, we actually didn't miss Barry and Iris. They actually, this team actually did a pretty good job, but I was actually pretty riveted just having everyone together.
Also, Vacation Iris, very nicely done.
Yeah, came back with Little Shine. So,
I wouldn't have come back, Barry. You're a hero.
Right. It's like, maybe another vacation. You know, we got a little bit of time. I was hoping that I'm still really interested in seeing what they do with Wells. He was going to give a little bit more information to the team, and of course they were going to wait until the next episode to do that. So we got to wait, but I am really interested in seeing what is he actually up to with the monitor and where his role to play in all this is. And again, it's and this is again across the board for these shows so far. They've done a good job of the lead up to Crisis. Normally, the lead up to the crossover, it kind of just sometimes distracts. I think last season was really good, but it kind of sometimes distracts from the main story they're telling. It hasn't happened that way this time, right? The main story here, the leading into Crisis, is the team coming to terms with Barry having to sacrifice him and die. So sacrifice himself and die. Your main villain is completely one. He's going on the not Venom route right now. So I noticed that today. That this last episode, I was like, huh, this is they're basically turning him into Venom. Okay, but he doesn't want to accept death. And he's fighting against fate. He's fighting against faith. Like, even this episode, the whole episode is basically about having faith in yourself and in others. And, you know, Frost and Caitlin try to have faith in that they can bring Dr. Russo back from, you know, the brink of where he's at. And he doesn't. He's the opposite of everything they're trying to do. So I think having that overall theme leading into Crisis is hoping so that you can tell many stories leading up to Crisis to get there without taking away from the character development of the characters and the overall theme that you're going to be having with your main villain, and it all kind of falls in together. And I think that's so far, and again, we'll see how it pulls off. I still think that the Crisis is still going to be one of the most ambitious things they've ever done in any of these series, so we'll have to wait to see just how well that or poorly it turns out. But so far they've been doing a good job leading up into it.
I think that even this episode, which we have to go back and look, but this may have been the cheapest episode the Flash ever made. Earth 19 was a lot of like industrial sets. There's no superpowers like Cisco versus Cisco fight, yes, but there's no Vi powers or anything.
Right. Yeah.
It feels like they're saving a lot of that budget for Crisis. And based on the quality of the writing of the last two crossovers, I feel fairly confident that we're going to have something great here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but I think that's the other thing too. It's like when you, we've always said this, right? If there's a show, one, this is probably one of their more, is this the most expensive show they do?
I think Legends is more expensive.
Yeah, Legends might be. Yeah, Legends could be. But like the thing about The Flash is it also had, we've said this before, it has the best cast. It has the most talented cast. So you can do things like this where you can lean on the cast to put in some really great performances and get some really great story arcs moving forward without having to rely on, you know, The Flash being The Flash. And in a way, honestly, and I think this is why this season feels so much like season one to me, it does feel more like a comic book. This felt like one of those slowdown issues where, you know, a big, you're coming up on a crossover, but you need to have some character development. So and maybe you had a guest artist that week, and so you got some good character development, or maybe it was like an annual before a big crossover or something like that that kind of gives you a little more background on characters. That's what this episode felt like to me. And it filled in some gaps with some of the characters to kind of give them room to grow, so we're there, while also doing things like Chunk is still, he's almost ready to come out of the pipeline. He's at 87%, you know.
Yeah.
So they're clearly leading up some with him, right? Because why even keep bringing him up? Like, this would have been something that you just throw away later on, right? So I feel like, and I just feel like, I just feel so natural and comfortable with these episodes right now, knowing that we have something huge coming down the pipeline, and it doesn't feel forced. It feels like a natural progression as we get to that point. And I don't know. I think it's been really great. I think this is one of the, so far, again, I know we're only five episodes in? Six episodes in?
Something like that, yeah.
Five episodes in. Obviously, we got a shit ton more, because this is a 22, 23 episode season. But so far, we're great. So far, this is doing everything that we wanted to do. And even better, I'm not sure where things are going, which I think is the best part. They can go, they can go several different places, and I'm not sure. And I enjoy the fact that not knowing. You know, so
it's a lot of fun. It's fun. It's fun again. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's fun. Yeah, it's fun. And like Ralph showing up to save Wells and Joe, right? Joe's like, you got my text. He was like, nah, I didn't get your text. And then Ralph goes through all the things he did to kind of basically track down where Joe had been. I'm like, yeah, because Ralph's a master detective. Of course. And it's like, it didn't feel like, if they'd done that two seasons ago, I'd have been like, get the fuck out of here. Ralph did that? No, come on. Here, I'm like, of course Ralph did that. Of course Ralph didn't check his phone for the easy way to figure out how to get Joe. No. He did that. But also, I love the fact that Joe made Wade Wells think, what makes you have so much faith your team's gonna find him? They don't even know we're here. And Joe went through the whole thing, and then Ralph shows up and it's like, yo, so you got my text, right? He's like, of course, yo. Of course Joe doesn't tell him. It's like, oh no, I have faith in my team because I text those motherfuckers. Of course I did.
I got faith in these satellites. Right.
Yo, like I was sitting the entire time when he was talking about some, when Joe was sitting there calm and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, Joe doesn't hit the panic button like at least 10 times, yo. Come on. Come on.
I just thought Joe had given up. I was like, damn, Joe, all right. I get you. Take a seat.
Right. He's like, hey, listen, like he almost hit me with that. He almost hit him with that Irish thing of like, well, I know Barry died to save the universe, and he didn't say I died, so I can't die right now. So,
No, I thought it was more like, look, they're taking my son.
Right. Yeah. No, I did. Yeah.
I got to go on the way out. That's even easier for me because I ain't got to live without my son.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think, and again,
but I am also really glad he sent the text.
Yeah, right. But I think that's also, we got to that point. The calmness of Joe came from either last episode, I think it was last episode, where he had that that talk and that hug and them tears.
The breakdown level with Barry.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, it feels earned. Like, you feel like you get why Joe is at peace at that point, because you saw what he did last time. So, like I said, I think all cylinders are clicking here. I think it's been fantastic. I don't think they made any significant changes in the writer's room, but because again, last season was good too, but this feels like another level. I feel like everybody's clicking on the same page, and I've really enjoyed how they put everything together for this.
I've loved this season so far. I love this episode. I think that it's return to form, and even an episode that's low on superheroics and low on budget, like, it's high on the investment that we've already gotten these characters and paying off on that. Because, like you said, like we talked about earlier, we didn't need the longhand version of Cisco feeling useless. We had a shorthand version because we know what he's done in the past and we know how this character carried himself. And the actor is so good at fully embodying those traits that we know about Cisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing with Ralph. Like, even Ralph's all on camera explanation to how they realized he was missing is, like you said, vintage fucking Ralph.
Yeah. He's just like, of course,
Ralph. He's done such a good job of establishing these voices. Mm-hmm. That you can jump in the situation, and Barry and Iris go on vacation and no one calling them and being like, hey, we need your help, also feels right.
Right. Right.
At no point was I like, you should call Barry. At no point did I think that.
Well, we didn't even get the moment where Cisco throws or turns Barry off. We didn't even get that. We just find out later on that he did it. Like, yeah, when Camilla has a conversation with him, trusts herself, and he just goes and does it. We don't have to have that dramatic moment of him saying, I don't need this anymore.
With the rising music and right, like, right. I don't need this.
Right. We didn't even get that, because it's like, it was unnecessary. We know where we're at. We know what we need to do, and we go from there. So, to me, again, I think that shows a maturity of the show. It shows a maturity of the writing, and it shows a maturity of the audience, too, to actually be able to watch that stuff and get it and be like, yeah, okay, cool, we're here. Here for the ride, and it makes sense. We're all on board with it. So, you got anything else you want to say about this episode?
Give me more Flash, man. I'm excited for next week. I think that I was reading something, and I think that one of the things that they're doing this season that's really helping them pacing wise is where they can kind of treat it like a micro season. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the formula that Legends has cracked.
Mm.
Where we're getting blood work in Crisis and something else. It makes the episodes, every episode feels more consequential. There's less standing around waiting for something. Even going back to season one, you can really divide the season into them finding out, or us as the audience finding out, that Wells is Thawne in the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Well, and so that one really almost feels like two seasons. If they're breaking this out to feel like three, an episode like this is important to build the confidence of the characters that are going to carry us forward through Bloodwork and Crisis and whatever the hell else is next.
Well, you know what it is, and we bring the show up and we compare it to this all the time, but it's Agent Shield. It's the Agent Shield model. Like, Agent Shield,
I was trying to keep the cop in universe, but yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But it's something that the reason why that show, and I bring it up because apparently in test audiences, Agent Shield is the most watched show on almost the show people watch the most on Disney Plus in their test markets.
Oh, yo, if you have not watched Agent Shield and you're getting Disney Plus, you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
It's also on Netflix right now. Like, just don't wait for that shit.
Yeah. But. Yeah, well, and it's the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. model because, one, they started breaking up their season of the chunks. Also, it did the same thing of splitting people up and relying heavily more, decentralizing who the main cast was, right? Yeah, you have some of your main characters, but you also had the core team became the main character. And so you could do an episode where you take, you know, Coulson off the board or Daisy off the board, and you can do an entire episode with just Fitz and Simmons and maybe like May and Mac or something like that, right? You can do that, and people will be like, all right, cool, this fits, this makes sense, and go forward from there. It's a little bit harder when you have a show called The Flash, because again, it's The Flash, and so it needs to be about him. So you can't keep doing that, but this show has built a team. Even though it's called The Flash, it really should be called The Flash Family, because it's always been about the team. The team has always been there. Barry's never done anything alone, right? And so you need to be able to, and I think this is why, you know, Arrow's great and everything like that, but Oliver's whole thing about, you know, running the Arrow, and it, we're going to talk about this more when we get into the next episode, is doing everything alone and then realizing that he needs to have a team around him. Barry's always kind of leaned, for the most part, leaned on his team, and those are the best seasons, the best things about The Flash. And so them allowing these other actors and actresses and characters to grow and be able to run an episode by themselves, you know, regardless of what happens in Crisis, it's necessary, because now you don't have to lean on the lead character all the time and you can get other things in there. And again, it feels more like a comic book, right? And so I think that really, really does help. It's really been helping this season. Like you said, if they break it out and chunk it out into small things, I'm going to say this, you know, we got Bloodwork right now. We got Crisis coming up. Yo, Thonso erased their daughter from the existence. He's still out there.
Oh, that's coming back.
he's still a racist.
That's received Barry O's Thawne.
I mean, Barry O's Thawne a fade. I'm just saying. I don't know when it's gonna come. I don't know when it's gonna happen. But like, it's gotta happen, right? And again, maybe it comes up in part of Crisis or not. But I feel like that's a whole other thing right there, because Thawne was a. Thawne won last season. If you forgot who won last season, Thawne won. Thawne won. Thawne was all over last season. So I'm just saying. Oh boy, just had to remind people in case you forgot who the real winner of season five was.
Ivar Thawne.
Yeah, just so you know. All right, folks, there you guys have it. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will be back on a regular schedule this week for The Flash. So stay tuned for that. Flash and Arrow. So stay tuned for that. And we will talk to you guys then. Till next time, we are out of here. Peace.